This is the Red Sox Precap with your hosts, Keaton DeRocher and Shelley Verstrate. Part of the Over the Monster Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Red Sox Precap Podcast, your podcast from the Over the Monster Podcast Network, where we recap the series that just ended, preview the series that's about to start. Got yet another four-gamer to run through here. At least we, the bookends were great.
They were great. But I still don't feel great about talking about the series.
Yeah, neither do I. Stuff in between was not so great. So let's dive right on into game one on Friday. Red Sox, Blue Jays, Garrett Richards versus Ross Stripling. Red Sox get the walk-off win. Richards and his performance give up 11 hits and 5 1/3, only 3 Ks, 2 walks. What was your reaction to Richards' start?
Just kind of watching it. It was just kind of like, yeah, this is the bad Richards that I was expecting. Sadly, just kind of like the last, two or three starts that we've seen from him, we kind of saw this kind of happening. The walks were showing up, the hits were starting to show back up, and just him going up against the Blue Jays, yeah, this kind of is what I've expected. Sadly, it just really sucked to see.
Yeah, we've seen him his last few starts basically like toe that line, but they've been against opponents where he's been able to, for lack of a better term, like get away with it.
Yeah.
And it just kind of caught up with him against this really good Blue Jays offense, which not great. Sawamura came in after him, gave up an inherited run. And then Workman, Taylor, and Whitlock were able to limit the Jays just 4 hits over the last 3 innings, allowing the Red Sox offense to bring it all the way back. Alex Verdugo with a 3-hit night, getting the walk-off. Most of the offense was done, was able to get a hit. Verdugo, as I said, picked up 3. Enrique Hernandez returned to the top of the lineup and went 0-for-5. Were you surprised to see him back in that role?
Yes, I was. They moved him towards the bottom of the lineup, at the beginning of last week. He was doing okay. Then they put him right back at the top. And I was shocked to see that. He didn't really hit well this series, to be honest. So I still don't feel great about it. But yeah, I was shocked that, he was only, down at the bottom for just, just a couple games there.
Me too. I really hope that it's just a placeholder until we are all delivered with the Duran promotion. And maybe you can add some relief there at the top. Yeah. But they're just not getting anything there. It's tough to watch. Start the game off with a tough at bat. Home run, Bobby Dalbec. Pretty solid in his last few games. He has hitting the last 4 games, hitting over 300 with a couple homers. Hopefully he can keep that stretch going. Nice to see him working. And then for the Toronto, Ross Stripling, 5 2/3, 4 run runs, 6 strikeouts, 2 walks. Dolis got the loss. And Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit his first of 4 home runs in the series. So one for every game. Put on a show.
He's so good.
Yeah, he is. It's fun to watch. It would have been nice if it was against someone else other than the Red Sox, but it's hard not to be impressed when I keep playing baseball.
Exactly.
Moving on to game two, Nick Pivetta, Steven Matz. More of the same here. Pivetta went 5 innings, gave up 6 earned, 4 homers. This and the next guy, we've basically been going start by start and saying, we're just kind of waiting for the implosion. Seems like it caught up with Pivetta. Is this the beginning of the end, or was it just a real good lineup?
I mean, I've been waiting for Pivetta to kind of be like, yep, this is it. And we'll talk about the next guy in a bit. But I don't think this is necessarily like the end of Pivetta. Because, he gave up 4 home runs, but he only gave up 6 earned runs. So that was, maybe a hit and a walk and just a blip and a bloop, right? And with this type of offense and just how well they're able to hit home runs, I just think that this was a bad night for Pivetta. So I'm still kind of waiting for it to turn bad, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that does make sense. Still had 6 strikeouts, only 2 walks, only, as you mentioned, gave up 6 hits and 6 earned runs. So that's just the contact that they made was devastating.
Yeah.
Just wasn't able to keep it in the yard. Although that's the thing that is a bit, gives me a little bit of pause with it. Other than the fact that we've kind of been waiting for a start like this, was in comparison to his career average, he had been giving up far less homers than he had in previous seasons. So even get tagged for 4 in a start makes me a little bit worried that maybe there's some more regression there, but sure. Tough to judge off of a 1 start. Obviously, given the course of the season, he's pitched pretty well. Just hope that it doesn't become a trend.
Yeah.
Which it kind of has for the next guy. Wrapping up this one real quick, Rafael Devers, multi-hit game. That was it for the Red Sox. Not going to run through that with Toronto because it was a bunch. Lots of home runs. Guerrero hit another. Man, is he talented. Steven Matz went 5 2/3, giving up 4 hits, only 1 earned run, 8 strikeouts, 2 walks. And then tested positive for COVID today and is now in quarantine for 10 days. Yep. So that's your prize for a good start. Alrighty, now on to the worst one in quite some time.
Yeah.
Game 3. Martin Perez, Robbie Ray. Martin Perez has now put in a couple stinkers up here in a row. This was another guy that we were kind of going start to start waiting for something to happen, and it just wasn't. And he was consistently going like 5 to 6 innings, giving up 2 runs. But now it has become a trend for Perez. Where's your panic meter on Perez?
It's really moving to, you know, total overboard, overload. I mean, it really does stink for Perez. Knowing that he had to go up against the Astros, what is it? Back-to-back Astros and then Blue Jays. That's not an easy stretch for anyone, let alone Martin Perez. So that gives me a tad bit of pause, but this game, it was just absolutely horrible to watch. He did not have it at all. Like nothing, like anything that he was throwing, that it wasn't fooling anyone. It was horrible. So
yeah,
I want to see his next outing before I really, really am just give me anyone else in this, you know, this fifth spot. But yeah, this game was just awful.
Yeah, to be honest, the second Astros start was kind of predictable. I mean, he had just a stupid start in the first one, but then immediately going up against that offense again, who just saw him for 7 innings, it was fresh in their mind. They jumped all over him. This one was tough. 1 3 innings, 5 earned, no strikeouts, 1 walk, 6 hits. And then the Red Sox just hung Ryan Weber out to dry before DFAing him. Letting him suffer out there for 5 2/3 and 11 earned.
Yeah.
11 earned runs. And his reward was peace.
Yeah, they kind of did him kind of dirty, right?
Yeah.
They did him very dirty, actually. Like, just letting him go and then just be like, yeah, peace, DFA, bye. That really does suck. I mean, I wasn't the biggest Ryan Weber fan, but
yeah, neither was I. And that's a guy that, like, Jake and I on the Red Seat podcast have been like, why is he on the roster?
Yeah.
And I get that, like, someone has to pitch the innings, but at the time it was only 5-1.
Yeah.
And then just letting him suffer through the rest. Oh boy. And then followed up by 2 position players pitching. Marwin Gonzalez pitched a clean inning, got out of that, and then Christian Arroyo finished it off, giving up 2 runs, a hit and a walk, and a homer. Lots of hits and homers in this one for Toronto. Only four hits, no multi-hit games. It was just Bogarts, Arroyo, Dobick, and Plawecki. That was it for the Red Sox. And this, they needed something good to happen in game four, and thank God they got it.
Yeah.
Robbie Ray for Toronto, just putting a bow on this one. 10 strikeouts in 6 innings, 3 walks. He is having himself best year of his career.
Yeah.
Another one that is fun to watch, just not against the Red Sox.
Exactly.
Believe there was 2 home runs from Guerrero in this one. Or someone had 2 home runs.
I don't think it was Guerrero, but he did have a home run because he hits home runs. But not
to Teoscar Hernandez. That was it.
That's right.
Yeah, and Guerrero just won a game, 4 total. So that brought us to tonight. Nathan Eovaldi versus Alek Manoah, who has pitched rather well in his brief major league career so far. Red Sox really needing a solid start from the starter after the garbage that has been the past. Basically, since the calendar flipped to June, they've been a bottom 3 pitching staff, which now on June 14th, it's not a small sample.
Yep.
So that's a bit tough. They needed a great start, and they got it. Nathan Eovaldi, exactly what we needed. Eovaldi goes 6 2/3, 3 hits, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts, no runs. Clean slate. What did you think of Eovaldi's start tonight?
I thought it was really good. And honestly, it wasn't what I was expecting. Like, just, you know, I was coming home from work today and I'm just like, oh, geez. You know, Eovaldi hasn't really looked great. The Blue Jays offense has been just, you know, killing it. I'm just like, oh, this is going to be another bad matchup. But it wasn't. Eovaldi looked fine. Again, I mean, you wanted to see maybe a little bit more of the strikeout stuff. But if we were able to limit the Blue Jays, if Eovaldi was able to limit the Blue Jays to only 3 hits, I am totally fine with only 4 strikeouts. Seriously.
Yeah. All year, he's been really good at pitching to contact. When he's racking up strikeouts and he's in the zone too much, he gets hit a lot. But when he's on the fringes like he was today, he had a fastball slider, got the pitching ninja treatment, shows you how good it was tonight. It was just great. It was great to watch. And at a moment that they really needed it. And, of course, going up against Manoah, who pitched 6 innings, gave up 4 hits, 1 run, 5 strikeouts. His ERA is at 2.66. He's a fun little kid to watch. The Red Sox needed a good start. Got it. Josh Taylor came in with the tying run on 3rd. Got the strikeout of noted Red Sox murderer, Rowdy Tellez, to escape that jam. And then Matt Barnes decided, you know, I've had enough of these saves. I want to win. giving up Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s 4th homer of the series to tie the game in the 9th, where Rafael Devers walked it off to give the Red Sox a split of the series 2-2. And I'll be entirely honest with you, a split 2-2 feels like a success. Given the starting pitching, right?
It really does. Especially with that middle part of this Blue Jays sandwich where, you know, those 2 games where you just wanted to hide under your covers and just not watch baseball anymore. It kind of feels okay going 2-for-2. And what about, you know, Josh Taylor? I know we've talked about him for a bit, but he's really just picked it up and been super clutch.
Yeah, he has been massively impressive.
Yeah.
He was another guy very often on the red seat. We talk about the pitching because that's the most interesting, unpredictable piece of this team, as you would expect. And oftentimes we reference people in the bullpen that were like, they're just kind of taking up a 40-man roster spot. Why are they there? And we talked about Josh Taylor for the first month of the season of why he was still on the roster, and I guess he's proven it now. Alex Cora stuck with him, and he's delivering. And 3 strikeouts in 4 outs, including the massive strikeout of Tellez. I think he's the go-to guy, the bridge to Barnes now, over Ottavino, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I have more confidence in Taylor over Ottavino. So, yeah, I would think so. And that's not something that I thought that I would say definitely at the beginning of the season, a month into the season, but the dude is absolutely killing it.
Yeah, same. Happy to have it.
Yeah.
Happy to have it. All right, MVP of the series.
Oh, boy. Can I just go with Josh Taylor just because I feel really good about him? I'm just going to go with him because it was not a good series. So Josh Taylor, MVP.
I'm good with that. I mean, he got the... I feel like I can't overstate the strikeout of Tellez, how big that was in the moment. Yeah. And just where he's come from to where he is now to keep that run from scoring so that the Red Sox could get the split eventually.
Yeah.
It just feels like this was a win that starts to turn the tide. It felt like one of those wins. They needed it and they got it. And it just, it, you can't help but feel positive about it. And he was a big part of it.
Yeah.
So I get it. You know, it's not often that we go for the opposing team, but Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was just too good this series.
I get
My Lord.
Yeah. He's so good.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a quick break, come back, and preview the Braves. Your up-to-date standings, but I imagine nothing will have changed by the time you listen to this tomorrow, so it should be up-to-date as you're listening to this. The Red Sox, second place, sitting 2.5 back of the Rays. They are, real quick math, 5.5? Yeah, 5.5 ahead of the Blue Jays, and 6 ahead of the Yankees. So able to actually gain on the Yankees here. Gain on the Yankees here through this split. Although they lost a game to the Rays and still a bajillion against the Orioles. But we've seen the Braves a couple times already. Pitching matchups for this one, Eduardo Rodriguez versus Tucker Davidson. Garrett Richards versus Ian Anderson, and then we got a day off on Thursday, so nice little two-game series. Braves, kind of underperforming here. 30-33 on the year. They sit third in the AL or NL East. 5.5 back of the Mets. What are you expecting from the Braves this series?
I guess kind of okayness. They just really haven't really put together a big run. So obviously with like their record that they're sitting at 30-33, they're just kind of okay. Their pitching has been not great. Their bullpen hasn't been great. They have some really good hitters, but they just haven't really been able to put everything together. So with this two-step, I'm just kind of expecting... okay-ness.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. The Braves, much like just about everybody around the league, has had their injury issues on offense, but they're still a top half offense. It's currently 12th in the majors. Is this going to be another bump in the road for Eduardo Rodriguez, or are we expecting a bounce back or hoping for, well, obviously hoping, but expecting?
I don't know. I guess if I was a betting woman, I would say no. That's even with the Braves kind of like underperforming just a little bit, their top of the order, you know, is still very scary with, you know, Albies and Acuña Jr. and Freddie Freeman and, you know, guys like that. Like I'm still scared. And I know that Truist Field, you know, down in the suburbs of Atlanta is kind of like a hitter's park. So it still scares me a bit. So I'm not expecting a rebound from him.
I know absolutely nothing about Tucker Davidson. Is this someone the Red Sox can jump on?
I do think so. I mean, I've been kind of sort of like a Tucker Davidson fan from a deep league fantasy baseball standpoint. This guy is interesting, but he does have his walk issues. I think that our offense can just kind of like hold him out, like just wait him out just a little bit, wait for their perfect pitch, you know, make him make a mistake. So I do think that offense can get to him.
Great. Yeah. Game two, Richards versus Ian Anderson is a much more exciting pitching matchup. Second matchup for Richards against Atlanta. On May 25th, he went 5 2/3, gave up 3 earned, 6 hits, 4 Ks, and 4 walks. And that was, this was the start of his most recent slide. Do we think he can kind of regain his footing here?
I hope so. I hope so. Again, like I'm very scared of the definitely the top of the order. So I think it's, we will definitely know very quickly whether it's going to be a good Garrett Richards start or a bad Garrett Richards start. I just, as you know, I've been kind of down on Richards for a bit. So I don't feel confident, but I really hope that he surprises me.
All right. Ian Anderson has been up and down so far this season. He's pitched well against poor offenses, but struggled against good offenses, which is, you know, a good omen for the Red Sox. What do you think you can expect from the offense from the Red Sox in this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, I was just kind of like prepping for this. I was, you know, looking at the game scores game by game. And yeah, just like you said, he struggles against good offenses. And I think that the Red Sox has a pretty darn good one, especially at the top. So I think, sadly, that this game might be kind of high scoring.
Yeah, which I guess that also hopefully would play in the Red Sox favor.
Yeah,
definitely. Nice little two-game series. What is your series prediction?
I think that we split this, but I can definitely see us sweeping this because I'm just hopeful that E-Rod can get it together. But if I had to put my money on it, I say we split 1-1.
I'm going to go Red Sox sweep, take both, and maybe it's just because I'm, you know, riding high minutes after a walk-off, but I'm feeling it.
Nice.
Who's your prediction for MVP?
I'm going to go... Let's go with E-Rod, because I need to give him some good juju. So let's go with E-Rod.
I like it. I'm going to go with Richards.
Nice.
Bounce back. Kills it. Let's go. Alrighty, that's going to do it for us. You can find both of us at Over the Monster, where we do roundtables and stuff. You can also find us on Twitter. You can find me at The Spoken Keats. You can find Shelly at ShellyV_643. And we will be back with you again on Friday morning, as we're going to record for this on the off day on Thursday. So we'll be back again to preview Kansas City without Andrew Benintendi. Thanks for listening.